Where were you on January 6th? Let's talk about 1 year ago, the ripple effect of pro-Trump supporters storming the U.S. Capitol. It is PolitiFact's Lie of the Year and its significance to our country's state of democracy on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Here's one moment of that afternoon, Republican Representative Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin sheltering in place in his office and talking on the phone with CNN.
I have not seen anything like this since I deployed to Iraq in 2007 and 2008. I mean, this is America, and this is what's happening right now. The president needs to call it off. Like, call it off. Call it off. It's over. The election's over.
What are you thinking as you saw those images? Why do you think so many falsehoods, so many conspiracy theories have grown up around these events? 800-642-1234. Angie Drobnik-Holen is editor-in-chief of PolitiFact. She and our colleagues have been writing about the events of January 6th. Angie, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much for having me, Kate. I'm glad to be here.
What is coming up for you on this day?
Wow. Well, when I think about a year ago, we fact checkers were already thinking we were going to fact check some traditional political speeches as Congress was going to count and certify the electoral votes for the presidential election. And then all of a sudden, those proceedings were disrupted as protesters physically broke into the Capitol and the day became quite different. And then we were kind of glued to our TV screens along with the rest of the American public watching these events play out. It was shocking and unexpected.
Before we go deeper into January 6th, just take a moment to step back with some observations about what elected officials say and why they matter. And I imagine you spend a lot of time looking at PolitiFact truthometers, making sure your gauges are reading correctly. But I also imagine finding truth and giving something a rating can have its challenges. What was last year like for your meters as you and your team traced falsehoods and conspiracy theories and misleading statements?
It was a tough year. I mean, the purpose of our fact checking is to give people the information they need to govern themselves in a democracy. And in previous years, it's been an endeavor that we do with some civility, but I think everybody knows civility is on the decline. And watching the Capitol physically assaulted is at odds with deliberative democracy, where we're supposed to get together, debate issues, have consensus, and then the losers are supposed to concede. I mean, that's a very important point of having a peaceful democratic society, is that people do not take up weapons when they lose. They have to accept the results of elections. So that was challenging. And then I just have to add all the fact checking we've done on COVID and misinformation on COVID is also absolutely a factor in a tough year, because it's something we consider naming our lie of the year, because people do need accurate information to make health decisions. And there's been a lot of misinformation about COVID.
I was listening to a clip of you last year in February, I think it was, and saying that as Biden is in the White House, new administration here, PolitiFact won't care much about rating and fleshing out what former President Trump says. That was the sentiment, at least for what you were saying there. Did that bear out? Could PolitiFact look away from former President Trump?
We are still watching former President Trump, but we are trying to do it judiciously. I mean, I think Donald Trump's supporters and detractors would agree that he is very good at getting media attention. From a fact-checking perspective, he says a lot of things that aren't true. So we really have to balance correcting the record with not giving undue attention. I mean, I think that's one of the challenges of journalism these days is what merits coverage and what doesn't. We are in an age of information overload. So sometimes the decision not to cover something is just as important as the decision as what to cover. I mean, Trump's place in American politics to me is very ambiguous right now. He seems to have a lot of influence in Republican primaries, but his influence is not without limits. For example, today he intended to give a press conference at the end of the day about his thoughts on January 6th, and it was canceled after other Republicans complained and said it would not be helpful to them politically. So I think that's a story we're watching in 2022 and certainly the 2022 midterms. What is Trump's role within his party and within U.S. politics?
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Angie Drobnik-Holin, editor-in-chief of PolitiFact, and she and our colleagues writing a report detailing the many lies being spread about the deadly January 6th insurrection. You can join in with your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Lisa now in Madison. Hi, Lisa, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I have to say on 1-6, I'll never forget the day. I was shocking to see what was happening, but at the same time, not surprising. For a couple of years, I've been following and listening to Christian Piccolini, who is a former leader in the white supremacist movement. And he has expressed over those years on NPR, I've heard interviews, I believe he's testified before Congress, that there would be violence if Donald Trump lost. And, you know, he talked often about the lies that were being spread, as have a number of other people that I've been listening to. So not surprising what happened, sadly.
Lisa, thank you for taking time to call in. Angie, you know, Lisa, they're saying not surprised, not surprised. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, it does have this kind of paradoxical nature of like surprising, not surprising. I mean, for me, seeing people like scaling the walls of the Capitol was surprising, but this was not not without warning signs. When we looked at the people who came to the US Capitol that day, we found a mix of motivations and outlooks. Some of the people seemed like just everyday Americans who truly believed that the election was stolen and had been convinced that the right response to this was physical action. Now, I should add, very importantly, we looked at many, many, many specific claims that there was election fraud or ballot boxes being moved around. And all of those claims, they came up with nothing. I mean, they were photos taken out of context. There was video that didn't show what the people said it showed. We did have a very valid election in 2020 overall. There may, like a few votes here and there may have not followed procedure, but not anywhere near enough to overcome the results that made Joe Biden the winner. Then the other group of people that we saw were these people in organized groups, white supremacists and militia groups. And they had a very different sort of motivation. They seemed to think if they could disrupt the proceedings that Donald Trump would take care of the rest.
That something would change.
That something would change. I mean, I think that's what our caller was referring to, that I think some of these people had these ideas that if they could just pause the electoral count process, that other actors in the government would overturn the results, which is essentially a political coup.
I want to listen to a clip here. About a month after the insurrection, Republican Senator Ron Johnson here of Wisconsin was the guest on the Jay Weber radio show, and here's what he said.
This didn't seem like an armed insurrection to me. I mean, armed, when you think here of armed, don't you think of firearms?
Mm-hmm.
Here's questions I would have liked to ask. How many firearms were confiscated? How many shots were fired? I'm only aware of one.
We're going to stop the tape there. You know, your reporter, Eric Litke, ruled Johnson's statements as pants on fire, numerous weapons confiscated, found that day. What are your thoughts on those kinds of statements from a sitting senator?
It's a prime example of this effort to downplay the events of January 6th. And we documented so much of that this year. There certainly were weapons around the Capitol. Guns and explosives were confiscated that day. And then there were also not guns. I think the focus on guns is somewhat misplaced, because people came to the Capitol with like trenchants and implements of to smash windows, to break into the Capitol. It was not a peaceful protest by any means. Now, okay, I mean, I think we can all be glad that there wasn't more gunfire and that people weren't, that there weren't, I mean, you can imagine a situation with much more casualties. We should, but like this idea that, oh, well, it wasn't that bad. I mean, that is not borne out by the testimony of the Capitol Police. It's not borne out by what congressional staffers saw and experienced. So this is a false statement.
PolitiFact Editor-in-Chief Angie Drobnyak-Kolin with us on the legacy of the deadly January 6th insurrection and what that day means to our pillars of American democracy. Your thoughts on how the Capitol insurrection has further divided our country politically? How do you think January 6th will be remembered in years and decades to come? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is a reporter giving an eyewitness account of what was unfolding, narrating what is happening at just after noon, our time, 1 year ago, courtesy of NPR.
Oh, meanwhile, up on the steps of the backside of the Capitol, we're seeing protesters overcome the police. The police are now running back into the Capitol building. We have cheers from the protesters that are watching behind the scenes. Incredible.
What do you think about what you saw in those scenes? What did you believe? Who did you listen to? 800-642-1234. PolitiFact Editor-in-Chief Angie Drobnyak-Kolin stays with us. Angie, let's talk about the media. Fox News and its treatment of the insurrection. How did that add to the lies and the misinformation?
What we saw when we looked at the events of January 6th and the way people reacted to it was a lot of downplay and denial. And the Fox News primetime hosts really led this effort, especially Tucker Carlson and Laura Ingraham. What we see is this dynamic in place where it's one questionable claim after the next. And when one is fully exhausted, they move on to the next one. So first Fox News said, oh, well, this attack is terrible. It's probably Antifa. That would be the left-leaning activist. Well, it was not Antifa. There's been not a shred of evidence to show it was Antifa. Everyone who was held up as an example of Antifa has been shown to be a Trump supporter. Mm. Then they said, oh, it's not that big of a deal. It's a peaceful protest. Well, there's a lot of video evidence that contradicts that. And then they moved on to conspiracy theories. This was especially Tucker Carlson's claim that the FBI instigated January 6th, or that the prosecutions have been violations of constitutional rights. None of that is true. But it was just, and it was just one thing after another. The media would start it. Sometimes elected officials would repeat it. It would end up on websites and TV and this kind of noise machine. And I should just note, these theories are radically at odds with each other. It can't be Antifa and a peaceful protest and the FBI. That does not make much sense, but that's the kind of messaging we're seeing.
Let's talk for a moment about language, because John from Menominee called in, couldn't stay with us. John is concerned about the language that journalists are using to talk about January 6th. John says a lot of reporters say that Trump lies, but reporters don't call Trump specifically a liar. So John also says we also didn't call January 6th a coup. Can you talk a bit about the language we use to describe this day?
That is one of the biggest challenges I think journalists are facing, because we have a lot of different concerns from readers that pull us in different directions. I think that journalists need to be observers and telling people what really happens. And I think part of that includes a little bit of professional detachment. Now, at the same time, we don't want to shy away from calling out falsehoods. One of our chief ethical obligations. In fact, I would say our top ethical obligation is to the truth. But we hear from readers who say, like, you're not calling out the liars harshly enough. Then we also hear from readers who say you're biased and you're against Trump and you never give him a fair break. So we are trying to navigate this middle ground where we place truth first, but we also just call it like we see it without having to heap on any extra condemnation.
Angie Drobnik-Holland with us, editor-in-chief of PolitiFact. I want to talk a little bit about yesterday's speech. Attorney General Merrick Garland said yesterday, in just running the numbers, issuing over 5,000 subpoenas and search warrants, seizing about 2,000 devices, looking at over 20,000 hours of footage, searching 15 terabytes of data estimated. You know, those numbers seem to insinuate the act and work of seeking truth and justice. But does that have any effect on the spread of lies?
Such a good question, Kate. I mean, I think certainly prosecutions of any kind have a deterrent effect. So when people are prosecuted, you hope they're not going to be like, oh, it's a good idea for me to go to the Capitol and try to break in again. The court system is a truth-seeking process. And one of the things that gives me hope is that we've seen courts over and over demand when people come into court making false claims about stolen elections, the judges have been very good about saying, you have no evidence, I'm tossing this case. Mm-hmm. I think that is one of the strengths of the US legal system right now, is that it seems to be holding firm. But I also have to say the penalties against politicians and media figures for saying things that are lies seems to have declined in the time I've been fact-checking. There are more political lies. There's a lot more of shrugging it off of, like, I mean, Donald Trump is a classic example of this. When he's called on saying things that aren't true, he kind of shrugs it off or changes the subject. He doesn't have any shame or remorse about it that I can see. So I think that's a good question. And it's like, where are we as a society where the penalties for lying seem to have diminished? Like, how do we get that back? I'm not sure what the answer is.
Let's go to Jeremy in Rice Lake. Jeremy, hi, what's on your mind?
I just had a question of why they're talking about this so heavily and all the riots that had gone, you know, taken place, and Congress people kind of inciting that too. And that's just kind of gone to the wayside now. It's all about the insurrection on January 6th.
And Jeremy, when you say Congress people inciting, what are you speaking to specifically?
Like over in Minneapolis, Omar, and there was one other woman that was talking about, you know, that they need to take over this.
So are you talking about, like, are you trying to make references to Black Lives Matter protesters here? Or I'm really trying to understand, get more clarity.
Well, that and why they're not pursuing what these Congress people had said, you know, getting these people riled up about all this. I mean, it's not any different to me, I don't believe.
Angie, your thoughts here.
Yeah, this is something that we hear from our readers too, of you're concentrating so much on January 6th and you're letting the Democrats who are far to the left off the hook. This is where it's like, it's all, I don't want to be a spokesman for all of you as media, but at PolitiFact, we are fact-checking both sides. We do fact-check the Congress, the member of Congress that he mentioned, and others. But I don't think the two sides are exactly the same right now. And, you know, we talked earlier about what we choose to cover and what we choose not to cover. We're not trying to make both sides look equal here. Mm. We're not trying to make the Democrats and Republicans look exactly the same. Now, no political party has a monopoly on truth, and we do fact check the Democrats. But it's kind of hard to give these people who want to see both sides called out equally. Like, that's not the reality of the situation we're in right now. Both sides are not equal.
Angie, thank you for joining us. Appreciate you being here. Angie Drobnik-Holland is editor-in-chief of PolitiFact. We have a link to PolitiFact's reporting on its 2021 Lie of the Year. It's at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, the Omicron surge and what it's doing to small hospitals in Dodgeville and Medford. Are you caring for COVID patients? What are you seeing at your hospital? 800-642-1234. News update is next here on the Ideas Network.